today we're talking about getting loud, okay? Now, I know some of y'all are loud people. Just out of show of hands, how many of you are loud people in here? And you know it, okay? How many of you are not loud people? Show me your hands, right? Okay, you not loud people, I'm talking to you today. Okay, we're gonna be getting you a little louder than you're used to, okay? But anyway, I know some of you are loud, I know some of you aren't, but today we're talking about getting loud. Of course, I know what you quiet people are thinking. There's a right time and a wrong time to get loud, and my loud friends don't understand that. And that's true, but we're going to see from the Bible one of the times that it's important to get loud. So please grab your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 10, 46. It's really close to chapter 11. So if you find in your Bibles, if you've never used them before, you find that chapter 11 right there, that big old 11, because in the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, small numbers are verses. So you get to that page number, you find that big 11, and right above you, you can see little tiny 46. That is the verse that we're going to start in today. The heading is Blind Bartimaeus. So this is about a guy who's blind who can see again at the end of this story. Jesus heals him. And as we've been going through the book of Mark, we've just been going week by week, and this is our story for today. It says, then they, and it's talking about Jesus, his followers, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So he's a blind beggar. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Wow, short little story there, but his volume level actually mattered in this story, didn't it? Right? He shouted. And you all probably know that public speaking is people's number one fear when they do surveys. Have you heard that before? Like, it's above death. People would rather die than get on stage. Isn't that interesting? So, because we don't usually like to be the center of everyone's attention. We don't want everyone staring at us, especially if it's in a moment where it's not socially acceptable. And sometimes you allow those social conventions or your embarrassment to even stop you from doing something that you know you should. Like, you see someone crying in public and you kind of want to comfort them, but you're also kind of like, we don't do that in public. I'm going to pretend I didn't see them. You just kind of leave them alone, you know, you just let them be. Or you see, I know you've done this. You've seen someone with food in their teeth and you're like, gosh, someone's got to tell them. I wish someone would tell them. And it's like, it's not going to be me, but I wish someone else would do it, because you don't want to do it because you tell them, it makes you feel super weird. So you just let broccoli face just keep on talking in front of everybody. And it's the same thing with you and God too. Like, you've wanted to invite someone at your workplace to church or at your school, and you're like, okay, I know this is like heaven and hell are on the line here, but this is also super weird. I don't want them to think I'm weird. And so you say nothing. You're quiet when you could have been loud. Or your friends want to go to a movie or watch a movie that you know you shouldn't watch because it's just inappropriate. And so like, let's watch the movie, and everyone's on board with it. And you don't want to be the loser who says no, so you just watch it anyway. And it messes your mind and your soul. It messes your relationship with God up. And so this story is also one of those moments where someone could have been loud, or he could have been quiet like everyone wanted him to be. But ultimately, let's just write this down. You got a sheet of paper in that chair in front of you? It says, Bartimaeus didn't care what people thought because he knew he needed God. He was louder than all the objections. A lot of times people say that, I don't care what people think about me. And most of the time, that's absolute crap. A lot of times the people who say that the loudest care the most. And they're saying it because they want people to think that they don't care what people think. But the people who really don't care are people like Bartimaeus. I mean, he had something he needed to get done. So he was like, Jesus, Jesus, please heal me. And when he didn't hear, Jesus, I'm talking to you. Would you please heal me? And like, he's getting louder and he's getting louder. And Jesus isn't, say, doing anything yet. And the people are telling him to be quiet. And here's what's at stake today. If you listen and you understand this, you're going to put your faith into practice. You will meet God. God will actually answer your prayers, just like Jesus answered Bartimaeus's. But if you ignore it, you're never going to take a risk for God. You'll probably never get anything big from God. This is an important story to understand. So let's look at this verse by verse. We started out at the beginning. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. So here's what I want you to get in your mind, right? They come into Jericho, big town, and there's a huge crowd with Jesus. Why is there a huge crowd with Jesus? Well, he heals paralyzed people, right? That's pretty interesting. He has authority over the wind and the waves. Remember when he told the wind and the waves to stop? Like, that would catch your attention if someone could walk into Salina and be like, wind, stop. 10 degrees? How about up to 55 degrees? That'd be nice, right? Like, if someone could do that, you might follow them around too. And so he drives out demons. Like, everyone knows this guy, Jesus, is a big deal. No one has seen anything like this. So if you were actually going to make a chart of important people to unimportant people, Jesus would be a 10 out of 10. So he's got an entourage and a crowd following him everywhere he goes. Big crowd with him. And it goes on. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. This is not the verse that I was looking for. The next verse should be, says, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the road begging. So he got this entourage. And if Jesus is a 10 out of 10, Bart is a 1. All right, I want you to understand what they think about blind people 2,000 years ago, right? There's another story. This is in the book of John, and this is John chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So their assumption is if someone's blind, God's punishing them for a good reason. Let's write this down, okay? We got to get this understanding. I got that? The world's assumption, if something bad happens, God must be punishing them. People assumed blindness was caused by sin. So when they see Bartimaeus, it would have been no different. But not only was he blind, he was begging. He doesn't have family. He doesn't have anyone to care about him. He's begging, which is a dishonorable way to live back then. So Jesus is the most honorable, most greatest, powerful man who's ever lived. And you got Bart, who is absolutely nothing and no one cares. And so they came to Jericho. Bart sees him. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth there, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he begins to shout. And he heard it was Jesus. And he's like, Jesus, is that Jesus there? And he starts calling out for Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Jesus, would you please do something about this? This is important because he knows Jesus can cure a paralyzed man. He knows Jesus can stop the wind. And what is he shouting? He's shouting, Jesus, Son of David. That's an important phrase if you understand the Bible. The Bible says that the Son of David was going to be the Messiah they were waiting for. This is about King David. Now, here's a prophecy from 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth, okay? Check this out. Now then, tell my servant David, that's the king, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, because David was a shepherd, and I appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring. Okay, so I'm going to bring an ancestor from you, David, to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom will endure for how long does it say? What's the word? Forever. Before me, your throne will be established forever. So when the blind man says to Jesus, you're the Son of David, he's referring to this prophecy. He says, you're the son of David. You're the one who's going to establish the kingdom forever. I know who you are. You're not just a miracle worker. You're not just a teacher. You're the son of David. You're the king that's going to rule Israel for all time. Let's write it down. The blind man confessed Jesus as Lord, the Messiah they'd all been waiting for. But there's more too. He's also shouting this phrase, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He's asking for mercy. Now, this is interesting. Mercy is kind of like compassion, but it's different than compassion. I mean, if you're poor and you're hungry, and you ain't got no money for food, and you got a buddy who's with you, who's also poor and hungry and ain't got no money for food, they can have compassion on you, right? They could feel bad for you, but they can't buy you a burger, can they? Right? But if a rich guy goes walking by you, and the rich guy sees your problem, he can have compassion, he can feel bad, but he can also have mercy on you because he can do something about your situation, right? He can buy you a Burger King. So blind Bart says, son of David, the king of all kings, I want you to do something about my situation. Let's write this down. The blind man believes Jesus can do something about his blindness. So the blind man shouts, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, you can do something about this. You're the king of kings. I want you to change my life. And of course, you get to the next verse, and it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. So he's loud, but they're like, you shouldn't be loud. You should, you're blind, you're cursed, you're a sinner, you're trash, you're a beggar. Rebuke. They rebuked him. Rebuke means you're in the wrong. You're supposed to rebuke someone when someone's in sin. If you see someone robbing a bank, you're supposed to be like, that's messed up, dude. you see... I don't know. You could try that. I don't know what would happen, but right. But the point is, you rebuke someone when they're in the wrong. And what, could you just write this down? The crowd rebukes Bartimaeus, the blind man. What do they want him to do differently? They want him to be quiet. Would you write that one down? He should be quiet, is what they said. Remember, Jesus is a 10 out of 10. Bartimaeus is a 1 out of 10. They think he's bothersome. Write this one down. They think he is annoying. Why is he yelling for Jesus? Don't they know that Jesus has important things to do? They find him to be obtrusive. Write that one down. You know what obtrusive is, right? Like you get involved in a situation where you have no business being involved. Like Jesus is a 10. You're a 1. Who are you to think you could talk to Jesus? Why? I'm a 6. And I don't even think I could talk to Jesus. Right? They find him unworthy. You can write that one down. They find him unworthy. Just out of curiosity. You can shake your head. How many of you have ever felt obtrusive, annoying, or unworthy? Oh my gosh. I felt that way before, right? And it's like when you feel that way in a situation, you want to back out. You want to quit. You want to shut down. So, some of you men out there, you are giving it your all every day, and no one is appreciating you. Some of you are doing more work than anyone else. Some of the people in the sanctuary right now, you guys are working your butts off every day. You're trying your hardest to change your life, and you feel like no one sees you. And when you try to make changes, people are annoyed by you. Nobody saw Bart. Nobody cared. Some of you know what that feels like. Nobody wanted to hear him. And when they did hear him, they thought his voice was annoying. So what did he do? Well, he shut up like he should because social conventions say you got to be quiet, you know. Maybe God could heal me, but I don't want to bug nobody about it. Is that what he did? No, we know what he did. Look, it's. I find this verse interesting. Many rebuked him. How many people? Many. Like, it's not just one person or two people in a classroom turning around going, shut up, you're stupid. Many people are like, you need to be quiet. Bart, someone get this guy. Like, there's a crowd of people rebuking him. And they're telling him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. I like this. So like Bart's at like a 3 or a 4, right? And he's, Jesus, help me. And they're like, be quiet. He's like, no. They're like, be quiet, you're annoying. I don't care. They wanted him to stop and he wouldn't stop. They found him annoying. And so what did he do? He got louder. He got louder. Say it with me. He got louder. Nobody wanted, write this down. Nobody wanted to hear him. Write this down. Write it down. We're going to put something on the screen now. Nobody wanted to hear him. They found him obtrusive and annoying, but he just got louder. Okay, back to where we were. Okay, back to where we were. Right? Let me be clear. He wasn't being loud to be annoying. Actually, hold on. Okay. He wasn't being loud to be annoying. I need some of you to take note of this, okay? Because he wasn't sinning in his loudness, because I know there's some annoying person in the congregation right now going, this is the greatest sermon ever. This is not, if you're sitting beside that person, just give him a slap right now. I won't look, okay? Just do it. Okay, look. He wasn't being loud to be annoying. If you're just loud to be annoying, that's not what this is, right? He was being loud because he had a purpose. He needed God's attention. When he was loud, he was saying, I need you, God. I need you. You ever been in a spot where you really needed God? Bartimaeus persisted in calling for Jesus, and nobody was going to stop. Nobody was going to stop him. And it makes me wonder, why are you so quiet in your prayers to God? Why do you give up so easily in your passion for God, in your pursuit of holiness and destroying sin? Why do you go halfway? What good would a blind man be in curing his blindness if he was silent in that situation when Jesus goes walking by? Would he have been cured if he was silent in that moment? He would not have been cured. It reminds me of our prayer series. If you were with us a couple years ago, we did a whole series about prayer. We had this acronym that said, you got to be persistent. You want to reflect on your own behavior. You got to appreciate and be thankful to God. You got to yield your will. You have to have energy. You have to be reasonable and then scrutinize. Reasonable does not mean, like, be reasonable with your prayer request. Don't ask for something big. Reasonable is like understanding the scriptures. There's a whole bunch to it. But it's not being, like, reasonable with your prayer. Scrutinize is like check your own behavior, make sure I'm lining up with what God told me to line up with before I ask for something. But today, especially what this reminds me of is the P in persistent and the E for energy. Like, when you start praying for something, if you really want it, you've got to be persistent and you've got to be loud. You've got to be persistent and loud. Jesus told a story one time about a widow who kept going to a judge. Now, the judge was wicked. And she kept asking the judge, give me, you know, the decree that will change my life. Give me justice against my adversary. And so she kept going to the judge, and she was a little loud. But it's like day after day after day, she just kept going back to the judge. He kept saying, no, because he was a bad judge. No. And she just goes, fine, give me justice. And just like that 3-year-old you had, finally the judge was like, okay, just leave me alone. And she's like, thank you very much. I appreciate it, right? And Jesus says, I want you to be like that with God. Now, what was the point of that parable? Jesus tells us the point. This is in the book of Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them, here was the point, that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus, the Son of God on earth, told a story to tell you, don't quit praying. If you want God to do something, pray for it and don't stop. Now, why on earth did God use the story of an evil judge to convince you to pray to God more? The point is because if the widow can convince an evil judge who doesn't even like her to answer her, don't you think you can get a loving God who cares about your life to answer you if you keep going back to him again and again and again? Let's write this down. The point of Jesus' parable in Luke is to always pray and not give up. Similar to the point of the true story of blind Bart, consistence and persistence brings God's assistance. Some of you remember that phrase? The consistence and persistence brings God's assistance. Let's say that phrase out together. Consistence and persistence brings God's assistance. If you can remember that and live out this phrase, if you take this sermon and live it out, you will have answered prayers. Every now and then people say to me, I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer. Most of the time, God doesn't answer your prayer because you quit praying it. You prayed it for a week. You prayed it for 2 weeks. Then you forgot about it. If you aren't consistent and persistent in your prayer, don't blame me if your prayers go unanswered, because this is what you've been taught. This is what Jesus told you to do. You have to be there. And don't stop praying after day two or three or four. Don't stop praying after year two, three, or four. And I heard someone just think right now, year two, three, or four. Well, I don't want to pray for something that long. Okay, then you're not going to get it. Consistence, persistence brings God's assistance. Sometimes we don't answer our kids because they ask us for something that we don't think they're actually going to use. Will you please buy me that? Don't. You're not going to use it. I know I'm going to buy it, and it's going to sit on the floor the day after I bought it for you. No, I promise I won't. Maybe you've done this to your parents when you were a kid. I promise I'll use it. And your parents are like, no, I'm not going to buy that for you. You're like, I swear, I'll use it every day. And they buy you the present, and it just says, but like, what happens if that kid comes to you on his birthday, I still want that present. Then comes to you the month after his birthday, I know you didn't get it, but I still want that present. And then comes to you on Christmas, I still want that gift. And then 2 years later, like, I'm telling you, I still want that gift. You're probably going to buy it for them. You're like, okay, I guess this dude is serious, right? God's saying the same thing. Sometimes I believe, this is a personal belief. The Bible doesn't say this exactly, but this is my personal belief. Sometimes I think God is asking you to be serious to prove to him and to you that this is actually what you want. Do you really know what you're praying for, and are you really going after it? Do not stop. Be consistent every day, no matter how long it takes. But also, the E for energy, I took it off screen, the E for energy in our acronym. It wasn't that Bart just kept asking for help over and over. He was loud about it. Look at Luke chapter 11. So I say to you, Jesus says, this is the cross-reference. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. That's a pretty big thing for Jesus to say, right? If you ask, it'll be given. If you seek it, you will find it. If you knock, then the door will be opened. Jesus is using like every analogy, every statement here to convince you that he wants to answer your prayers. Everyone who asks, I'm going to ask you to say this word. Who does this apply to?
Everyone.
Tell me more. Who does it apply to?
Everyone
who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In verse 9, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. There's a fascinating Greek word there. This is also in verse 10. When he says, if you ask, you receive. There's at least three words for ask in the Greek language. And this part of the Bible is written in Greek. One of the words in Greek means to ask a favor between equals. Okay, you and your buddy. I'm asking you for something. Another word for ask means I'm just asking someone for information. It's like a general ask. But the third word here, this word, ask and it will be given, is the word that's used from someone who's lesser to someone who is greater, and it's a demand. Let's write this down. When Jesus tells us to ask God, he uses the Greek word that means to ask with urgency. It's nearly a demand for something due from a lesser person to a greater one. Isn't that fascinating? Jesus says, I recognize that you're less than God. I recognize that you're less than me, but you should ask in a loud, demanding voice that you want me to do this for you. Jesus shared a story, you might remember this one too, of a neighbor banging on his neighbor's door at the middle of the night. Boom, 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 I need some bread. Boom, boom, boom. He's loud. He's obnoxious. He's annoying. And that's exactly what blind Bartimaeus was like. And this guy's boom, 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 give me some bread. And he's loud with his request. And they go, man, would you stop? It's the middle of the night. And the guy bangs even louder on the door. And Jesus says, that's why his neighbor gave him the bread. Because he was loud and obnoxious. I want you to be loud and obnoxious with God. And so blind Bart is doing the same thing. He's being loud towards Jesus. He's being louder than people want him to be. And when they tell him to be quiet, he gets even louder. And he's calling for mercy. Let's look what Jesus does. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So Jesus hears, call him. So they call to the blind man. This cracks me up. Cheer up. On your feet. He's calling you. So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Okay. Little side note here. Can you just imagine how the people felt? They tell him to cheer. They're all like, you suck. Be quiet. We don't like you. You're a 1. Jesus is a 10. I don't know. Oh, you want him? Hey, buddy, cheer up, man. Remember, I was always on your side, dude. When you talk to Jesus, remember me, yo. You're like, that just gets me. Doesn't it? You know, people are like that, aren't they? Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a side note just to talk about how dumb people are. But anyway, We're going to go to the next verse now. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. This is interesting. I want to see. That's pretty dang clear, isn't it? That's pretty forward. That's pretty obvious. He doesn't hem-haw around. Let's write this down. When Jesus asked, what do you want? The blind man knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted to see. This is black and white. I cannot see. I want to see. Far too many people pray in the grays. God, I hope good stuff happens. You ever heard a prayer like that? Could you imagine if you asked your boss for a raise like that? How would it go if you came to your boss, sir, do you have time right now? Yeah, okay, I know the company's been doing pretty good lately.
Yes, it has.
I'm glad. I hope that I'll do pretty good too. Yeah, you're doing pretty good. Thank you. is that dude getting a raise? No, that dude's not getting a raise. You need to go in there and you need to be like, excuse me, sir. See, the company had some record profits this year. That's right. I'm really happy. I love this company. And I've been here about 10 years now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I'm here every day on time and I've worked my butt off, especially with Project X that we just got done with. I think we set some records there. I am fully committed to this. I would like to talk to you about my raise. I would like you to give me $10 an hour or more. Now you got a shot, right? Now you got a shot. And if your first thought was, nobody has ever gotten a $10 an hour raise in the history of companies, I know you ain't ever gotten a $10 raise. Because if you never ask for one, and if you don't think it's possible, then you ain't gonna get it. Am I right? Do you think anyone has ever gotten something like that in the history of humanity? Yeah, but if you don't think it's possible, it ain't gonna be you. If you've ever thought blind people don't see when they're blind from birth, then you're gonna stay blind too. If you don't believe Jesus will answer your prayer, then he's not going to. If you don't come to God and ask for financial help, if you don't ask for your kid's salvation, if you don't ask for your life to change, then God won't answer that prayer because you didn't even ask it. Well, you're asking me to ask for ridiculous stuff. If you think it's ridiculous, then God's not going to do it, of course. It might have been ridiculous for a blind man to say, I would like to see again. It might have been ridiculous to hear stories about a man who could take the wind and the waves and stop them. It might have been ridiculous for someone to go to Jesus and say, my loved one died, will you bring them back to life? But those things happen for the people who actually, who did it happen for? Let's look at this next verse. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's write this down. The blind man was healed completely and immediately. His faith in Jesus healed him. What's fascinating, I know if I were to ask you who healed him, your answer would be Jesus or God, and you'd be correct, right? That is the Sunday school answer. Is that what Jesus said? Some people will crucify me on the internet, but what did Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Of course, it's faith in Jesus, right? It's faith in God. It's the belief that God will do these things. When this man had enough faith in Jesus to believe that he could be cured, he was. It was that faith in God that did the healing, not merely Jesus smacking him upside the head, not merely some mystical shower of rain coming down upon him. It wasn't like some thing he had to go to, go climb this mountain and you'll be, no, it was believing that God will do it. And then God did it. So what do we do with all this? Let's get practical. I can't be persistent about something that doesn't exist. I need a clear goal for what I'm praying for. This is your practical stuff right here. You have to have a clear goal. You can't be persistent about something that doesn't exist. Okay? You have to have a clear goal for what you're praying for. If you're going into prayer without a clear goal in mind, it's not likely that you're going to be persistent, right? We know that you got to be persistent. We know you got to keep going and not quit, right? But if you don't know what your goal is, you're probably going to quit pretty soon. I'm going this way, or maybe I'm supposed to go this way. I don't know. How long are you going to run around in circles? I read a story one time. This is fascinating. They hired some people and paid them really good wage to dig a hole. I don't know, well, let's just say $20 an hour to dig a hole. And they said, if you come back tomorrow, we're going to give you $40 an hour. So they came back the next day and they filled the hole back up. That's all they did. It was a totally meaningless job. And so you come back tomorrow, we're going to give you $50 an hour. Like half the people came back because it was meaningless. So they dug it out. Come back tomorrow, we're going to give you $70 an hour. Almost nobody came back because it was completely meaningless work. If you don't have a goal in mind when you pray, you will quit your prayer time. You have to be persistent. You have to have a clear goal. Let's just imagine I've got a friend named Austin. God, please help Austin. I hope he's better and blessed. How many times have you heard a prayer like that? I hope someone bless him. I hope he's better, and I hope he gets better, and I hope he's blessed. Well, what was I specific about in that prayer? Pretty much nothing. How will I know when God answers that prayer? How will you know when God answers the prayer if you pray that things are blessed? If you pray like that, you'll never know when God answers your prayer. How can you get excited and pray with passion and consistency day after day after day if your prayer is, hope things go well? Like what? No, you need to be really specific. So instead, maybe you go to God and you pray. Well, let's, did you guys write down the, I need a clear goal what I'm praying for? Okay. Nope, not that one. Sorry. Looks like I got two on one screen. So you need a goal. So imagine you go to God and you're praying for your friend Austin. God, Austin is a weirdo. He doesn't understand people. Help him to be better socially so he can get a better job because he can't pay his bills. He needs a good job that people will like him. People will be his friends there. And he needs to make enough money to do well and be able to pay every one of his bills and have money left over. I'm praying for that kind of job in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's some clearly defined goals right there, right? I'm going to also add, God, help him to have a job that he won't work on Sundays because he needs to be at church. Okay. So I'm praying, number one, that he would get a job where people would like him. I'm praying, number two, that he'd get a job that he'd make enough money to pay all of his bills. Number two, I'm praying he'd get a job that he wouldn't have to work on Sundays, right? Three very specific goals. Now I know if God has answered one, two, and three. That is the type of prayer you can be passionate about over time because you know exactly what you're asking God to do. I have a prayer journal. And when I write those three things down, I don't write answered on that prayer until God answers one, two, and three. So be specific in your prayers. And don't be afraid to be specific. All right. We already did that. Next. The blind man noticed Jesus was with him. Jesus isn't likely to walk by us on the sidewalk, so we need to decide the time and place we're going to pray and how we'll do it. Right? So blind Bartimaeus knew Jesus was right there. But your prayer time, you're not going to wait until Jesus starts walking by you on the sidewalk. You're going to choose a time and place where you're going to go to God, or you're going to pray for you and your son or your daughter or your workplace. God, help me pay this bill. God, I need wisdom for this situation. And you're going to be loud, but you're going to do it a specific time and place. Now, one time, my wife Meadow and I were driving somewhere, and there was a couple with us. And this couple was kind of asking us for something, but they never came out and said it. So they were like, it's hot in this car. And they'd done this before, so my wife and I looked at each other. And we were like, don't turn on the AC until they say it, until they actually ask. They're like, wow, it's really hot in here. And we were like, yeah, it is. Like 5 minutes later, they're like, seriously, it's like burning up in here. I'm like, yeah, it's no joke, man. It is so hot. Sometimes you feel things. But you don't turn those feelings into requests. You haven't actually asked. You need to get a specific time where you sit down and you write those things out. Because you might be going through your day going, God, I don't like this. This is dumb. This isn't fair. I don't know why God's doing this. And you're like complaining and you're feeling, but you've never sat down at 6 a.m. on your kitchen counter with an open Bible and written down, God, I don't like this. Please do this instead. You need a specific time and place. Otherwise, you're just going to be feeling complaints. So you might, here are some suggestions, right? So maybe the time you get up is first thing in the morning. We'll say, you know, 5 a.m. or something, right? And you go to your kitchen table. That's a possibility. Maybe for you, you don't like that idea. Okay, you take your lunch time and you go to your car and you sit in there for 20, 25 minutes. Maybe you have some kids, you're a stay-at-home parent, and you just right before your kids get home, you go sit in that living room chair and do your prayer time with God. Or after work, but before you eat, you go in your basement and you just close everyone off, you lock the door, no one get in there. Or before you go to sleep, you go up to your room, you sit on the side of your bed, you get out your prayer journal, you get your Bible, you read, and you do it. Or if you're a parent of a newborn, just good luck with life, okay? We got some newborn parents in here right now? Yeah. Okay, look, I'm not stupid. You got a newborn. You're on their schedule, okay? So if any of you end up with a baby, my suggestion for your prayer time is the 30 seconds baby's quiet, right? You grab that like maybe you need to put it on a phone. You get out your prayer journal. God, baby's quiet for 30 seconds. I'm asking for this prayer right now. And you hit it as many times as you can throughout that day whenever that baby's quiet. And you just, but you still need a specific time and a place. You still need to get on your knees or get on your butt and open that prayer list, and you need to take it to God. Here's another thing we need to do. I gotta believe that God will actually answer. Why did Bartimaeus shout out? He believed that if Jesus heard, he would answer. Would you all circle the word would, right? Jesus would answer, right? This is Bartimaeus' belief. So you actually have to believe it. So you got the crowd and they're telling Bart to be quiet. But my question to you is like, are you sick? Okay, then don't give up. Believe God will make you well. Are you broken? Then don't give up. You ask that God heals your brokenness. You know what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 21? If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I'm sure it'll come up at some point. John chapter 14. Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything. You're all going to say the word anything. You may ask me for, and I will do it if it's in Jesus' name. James chapter 5 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You're going to say powerful and you're going to say effective, okay? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and it is effective. Does that sound like Jesus wants to heal your sickness if you pray? Yes. Does that sound like God wants to give salvation to your kids if you pray for them? Yes. Does that sound like Jesus wants to do whatever you ask of him? Yes. There's some people who read that and go, yes, but. Well, let's go way back to the beginning of today, okay? Way back to the beginning of today. The main idea, can we look at this? Come on. The main idea was Bartimaeus didn't care what people thought because he knew he needed God. He was louder than all the objections. So when we're talking about prayer requests, and you're like, well, yeah, Jesus wants to answer, but, and you get this objection in your mind, you need to overrule that objection with boldness. You need to overrule that objection with persistence. And you need to overrule that objection in your mind with loudness. I'm having a hard time believing this, Jesus, but I'm coming to you anyway because I know you can do this. Don't listen to the naysayers, and that includes your own doubts. Don't listen to your own self when you doubt that God will answer you. This is an important principle. All right, let's see what questions we got here before we get out of here. In 2 Samuel says, Jesus is going to be David's flesh and blood. How does that work if he's related to David through Joseph's lines? He's also related to David through Mary's line. We had a huge gut check from God in the prayer series when we were trying to get into this church. Yielding is one of the hardest things. Yeah, you know, if you weren't here during that prayer series, we'd actually built this building, and we did the prayer series, and we're like, we're going to do this prayer series. This is going to be like 8 or 9 weeks. Then we'll go into the new building. And we learned all about being persistent and just waiting on God. Oh, man, you remember that Bible verse? Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Wait on the Lord. Do not give up. And so we learned about this, and then we were supposed to get on this building, and the city of Stein was like, no. And we're like, okay, well, God, we're going to learn the lesson you wanted us to learn. We're going to wait another week. And the city of Stein was like, how about 12 decades? And so we decided we weren't going to leave the prayer series until we got into this building. Y'all remember that? Like, we stayed in the prayer series. We're like, how much more can we learn about prayer, God? It was like a year long. And I was like, I don't know, it was a long time. It was like 12 or 13 weeks long. We just kept adding to it. And finally, God answered our prayer and got us in this new building. But I learned a whole lot about persistence in that series because God gave us some practical application that we did not want. Someone says, who gave him his faith? Oh, who gave Bart his faith to believe that Jesus would heal? I see. Oh, we got a Calvinist in the audience today. Okay. Who gave Bartimaeus his faith? Is faith a gift from God, or is it something that you believe on your own accord? So what the Bible says is that everyone is dead in our sins. What can dead people do? Pretty much nothing. I mean, you're dead, right? You're dead. Here's what we believe, that God gives you enough grace to be able to make the decision on whether or not you want God in your life. So God, I mean, if you were going to use the analogy of death, we might say it's like a paramedic who comes to someone, does a little CPR, the person wakes up and he says, do you want me to put you on the machine? And the person's like, no, screw you. You die now. God has given every human being enough light and enough grace to be able to choose God if that's what they want, or to choose death if that's what they want. So God has given us the gift of being able to have faith, but you must make that choice. That's why the KC Chiefs Stadium is so loud. What is? Why? I don't understand. Because we have faith we're going to win? My faith is dying, bro. We don't talk about that today. What about those moments? What about those moments you get to asking and you lose the words for what you want? This is great. So sometimes you go to prayer and you're talking to God, but then you don't have the words. So this is why I like to write out my prayers in at least short sentences. I am ADHD enough. I'll be like, God, I need you to heal him. He was wearing a blue shirt yesterday, and it was the same color as the car that ran over the squirrel. Did you see that? And I'm like, oh. And then I look at the, oh yeah, I'm praying about my friend. Okay, God, you know, he really, it can bring me back. But also, when I write things out, I'm a little bit more eloquent with my words. I can be a little bit more serious. And I can't just let it float around inside of me. I got to decide, am I asking for healing or am I asking for endurance? Like, what am I asking for this person? And I have to be more specific. So that's why I think writing your prayers out is actually a really good idea. Okay, so you got to believe, and you can't let your doubts take over, right? It's also good for writing it out, because then you know exactly what you're asking God for. And you'd be louder, and you'd be more persistent than your doubt. And when you believe it, when you get loud, not just in volume, but in passion and faith, you're going to see God do more for you than you've ever seen before. But you have to believe it. And you have to be persistent. You actually have to get loud. Let's pray. God, we know that you can answer our prayers. We know that you're the God who can do all things. You can raise the dead. You can change the wind and the waves. So I ask in the name of Jesus that there be people here today, me included, who would be able to come to you in prayer, and that our prayers would be different, that we'd have faith in you like we've never had before. That we'd have faith like Bartimaeus, that we believe that you're going to answer, and that we'd be persistent, and that you'd hear us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have a great week. Go pray.